the only woman, in fact, that Simonides will recognize, the only type of woman whom he'll recognize as potentially good, is the bee woman. Like a bee, she is industrious, she is blameless, she's modest. And it's very interesting that from Simonides onwards, the metaphor of the bee keeps occurring throughout Greek literature, offering a model for the ideal woman. She's meant to be in the hive, she's meant to be devoted to her family, she is meant to be productive. She is, in a sense, the embodiment of the household. This bee metaphor gets taken up by some later writers, in particular Xenophon, who at the end of the 5th century produces a quite remarkable work that tells us a great deal about the position of women. The work is called the Economicus. The word originally in Greek, though it comes into English to mean economics, originally in Greek it means household management, the nomos of the oikos. And household management is clearly something that a smart man is meant to take an interest in. He's meant to organize his household. But he's actually going to do very little actively himself because the citizen man is going to be out in the assembly and hunting and taking care of his business interests. The actual running of the household must be left to his wife. And so in the Economicus, a speaker by the name of Ischomachus will tell us about how he trained his wife to run the household properly. She's meant to be a queen bee. She's meant to take note of what is brought into the hive. So as the produce from the farms is brought into the city household, she's meant to keep track of it. She sees to its preservation. She dispenses supplies to other people in the household. So she'll take the raw wool, for example, and give it to the slave women who will then weave it. She has authority over the making of the honeycomb, at least the bee does, just as the good wife has control over the production of food within the household. She raises offspring and, to extend the metaphor, she sees them off to a new colony in the same way that a good citizen woman will breed children who then will go off and establish their own households as citizen families. Similarly, the good woman for Xenophon is meant to be tireless around the house. Like Penelope, she is endlessly spinning and weaving. The Athenian household is meant to be self-sufficient. It produces its own goods. The men don't actually do the work. They organize. The women are meant to be producing all day long. And the good woman is also supervising the slaves of the household and bearing children. There's another way in which the bee metaphor is actually very appropriate and taken a little bit further. In the ideal Athenian household, the woman is not meant to leave the home. Like the bee, she is meant to be in the hive all the time. Now, Xenophon goes so far as to giving an explanation of why this is naturally appropriate. That is to say, women have a weaker constitution, and so they should stay indoors, whereas men, heroically nude in their exercise, tanned, buff, are capable of going out into the wider world. We face here an interesting situation. As the democracy took root, as Athenian culture reached its absolute high point in the 5th and the 4th century, at exactly the same time, the ideal being postulated for women was that they should not even be seen. They should not be out of the household. This gets its most stark articulation in the words of Pericles, who, according to Thucydides, gave an account at the end of the first year of the war, a funeral oration in which he spoke to the families of the survivors about the glorious sacrifice of their dead sons. And in that speech, he has a great deal to say about the confidence of Athenian society and what it was that made it worth fighting for when you were an Athenian. And he ends the speech, finally, by talking to the women in the audience, presumably then the mothers, the wives, the sisters of the men who are dead. And after he has spoken to all the men in the audience and said to them, "You must model yourselves on these dead, and you must make yourselves worthy of their sacrifice," this is what he has to say to the women of Athens. He says, "The greatest glory for women is that you should not be talked about at all for good or evil." Absolute silence. The less said about a woman, the better, from the point of view of the Greeks of the classical age. Now, this theme of the silencing of women, the seclusion of women, the exclusion of women from any public life at all, is probably more an ideal than the absolute reality. There probably were women who were out in the marketplace and managing the affairs of their family. But it's fairly clear that the ideal situation was one in which they had no role to play whatsoever. And this turns up time and time again in different parts of Athenian life. For example,